BBC News with Roy Lama. Stock markets around the world have risen sharply in response to plans unveiled by European governments to use hundreds of billions of dollars to support failing banks. There have been steep rises in London, Frankfurt and Paris. In New York, the key Dow Jones Index closed up by more than 11%. From there, Laura Trevelyan reports.
Wall Street bounced back on Monday with the Dow Jones Index of major American companies soaring an astonishing 936 points, a historic gain in one day. Traders cheered as the closing bell sounded. After 8 days of losses, investors were particularly encouraged by the US government's plan to take a stake in troubled American banks. This should have the effect of guaranteeing lending between banks, hopefully freeing up credit so ordinary people can borrow and spend money. Despite this rally, investors remain concerned about the fragility of the international economy, and trading is expected to remain volatile in the days ahead.
This year's winner of the Nobel Prize for Economics, Paul Krugman, has told the BBC that the current global economic crisis may have reached a turning point. He said the rescue plan agreed by European governments exceeded his expectations, as during the past months, leading economists had emphasized the vital need to get more capital for banks and provide guarantees. Both elements were at the core of the European bailout plan, a move welcomed by Mr. Krugman.
At last, in this European summit yesterday, they actually did more than expected. It was actually a better, more forceful plan, better conceived than I expected. I was preparing myself for the worst. So this is actually a very good news. It might be the turning point of the crisis.
The British government is to drop its proposal to extend the period that suspected terrorists can be held in detention without charge. It follows a defeat in the upper house of parliament, the House of Lords. Sean Curran has more details.
Peers backed the current 28-day limit for holding terror suspects by a majority of 191. With the Prime Minister at her side, the Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, made an emergency statement to the Commons. The tone was defiant. Ms. Smith attacked her opponents, saying that some might take the security of the British people lightly, but she did not. But the detention plans will now be dropped from the counter-terrorism bill.
North Korea has restored the right of United Nations officials to inspect its nuclear complex at Yongbyon. It follows an agreement with the United States under which Washington removed North Korea from its blacklist of countries which allegedly sponsored terrorism. Yongbyon was shut down last year under an aid for disarmament deal after North Korea staged its first nuclear weapons test. The North recently threatened to restart the plant. You're listening to World News from the BBC in London. Around 10,000 people have been demonstrating in the Montenegrin capital Podgorica against their government's decision to recognize the independence of Kosovo. More than 20 people were injured in clashes with police who used tear gas to disperse the crowds. In February, Kosovo declared independence from Serbia, which opposes its secession. The former South African President Thabo Mbeki has arrived in Zimbabwe for power-sharing talks. Negotiations stalled after President Robert Mugabe allocated the defence and interior ministries to his party, ZANU-PF. He has also sworn in two vice presidents. From Johannesburg, Orla Geeran reports.
4 weeks to the day since he presided over the signing of Zimbabwe's power-sharing deal, Thabo Mbeki is trying to save it. He plans to hold separate meetings with President Robert Mugabe and opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai, and then to bring them together for talks. The MDC says it's still willing to negotiate on the division of cabinet posts under the auspices of Mr. Mbeki. But having been stripped of South Africa's presidency, he's weaker than before.
South Africa's new health minister, Barbara Logan, has called for a renewed global effort to find an AIDS vaccine. It's a sharp contrast to her predecessor, Manto Shabala Msemang, who spent years resisting the introduction of antiretroviral drugs. Ms. Logan also said it was unquestionable that the disease was caused by HIV and conventional medicines were the best treatment. Research suggests that early modern humans may have taken a different route out of Africa towards the Mediterranean from that previously thought. Researchers think they may have gone across the Sahara, emerging through modern Libya rather than following the Nile Valley. Their work indicates that 120,000 years ago, wet conditions existed further north, providing food and water for the migrants. BBC World News.